Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 14th day of April. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to you beautiful people in the North Decatur area.
All right.
North Decatur area.
North Decatur.
Yeah, I know you know North Decatur.
North Decatur, all that. North Decatur Road, all kind of.
Some kind of good folks over there.
Right out there by Emory University and all.
Happy 25th birthday to Chase Young. That's what we need here in Atlanta. Somebody say, tell him we wished him happy birthday. And if you want to make a call down to Mr. Blank's office, we could use him here. He's probably locked up in Washington for a while. Or where's he now?
I don't know if
he's in Washington still.
He started out Washington.
And also happy, well, would have been his birthday, Richie Blackmore and Brad Garrett. Were you a fan of Everybody Loves Raymond? His brother, he's on them commercials now.
Yeah,
where like gangsters selling him sub sandwiches. He one of them, sneaky, funny dudes. Anyway, we have a very special guest on. And these ladies are getting it done.
They are. Impressive, impressive. They're the new team in town. But my goodness, what an impact they've made in this inaugural season. First of all, inaugural season for the Pro Volleyball Federation and the inaugural season for Atlanta Vibe. And they did it again last night, and Coach Todd Dagenet joins us. He's from celebrating last night. He's waking up early to join us. Coach, good morning.
Morning, Coach.
Welcome back to the show.
Yes.
Sam and Greg, did we make believers out of you yet?
I've already been there. I've been on board.
You wouldn't have to convince me.
What time we riding?
Listen, I want to say this real quick here, because your organization, from top to bottom, not only the surprising nature in which you landed in the city and the good fortune that you have seen this season, but also I want to thank you for the times that you have spent acknowledging my partner. You guys did a little tribute, and you guys just sort of embrace Sam out there. And he talks about it on a regular basis, how much he loves Atlanta Vibe and what you guys are doing out there. So I know he's not going to do it, so I'm going to thank you for how you've embraced him.
Well, you're welcome. And, you know, I really enjoy doing things like that. And the support that we've received from both of you has been tremendous because of the vast audience that listened to you. And, you know, I'm sure that's brought in some new fans. And we're just really fortunate to have partners like you all out there helping us out.
Well, it's been tremendous what you've been able to do. And last night was special for a number of reasons. First of all, it was ATL Day. And first of all, you had like Pastor Troy was out there to pump the crowd up. But then you're taking on Omaha. And
Omaha!
These folks are special. But to get them at our place and get the win last night had to be really big.
You know, any win is a good win. You know, it's so coach cliche, but yeah, it's the one versus two. You're fighting for the number one seed in the ultimate the league tournament for the league championship. And we've worked so hard. If we're going to work that hard, we might as well try to earn that number one seed. So that was a match that goes a long way towards putting us on the ladder to finish off that goal that we set for ourselves this year.
We talked about this before. Is there any explanation why Omaha, why Nebraska happens to be this hotbed for volleyball?
Tell me what else they have.
Well, they used to have a football program.
They used to have football, yeah.
Yeah, they used to have college football. Yeah,
but they don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
No, volleyball in Nebraska really started by a guy named Terry Pettit. And he was the first college coach back at the grassroots time that he went from town to town and barnstormed and did clinics and built this interest in a female sport where it really doesn't have a male sport dominance, right? Nebraska doesn't have a professional team. And all of a sudden, women's volleyball became the sport. The entire state and surrounding state borders go to Lincoln to watch volleyball. And like we talked about last time we were together, you know, they decide to throw a match in Memorial Stadium and draw 90,000+ people. That's what kind of fanatics they are. And so it's just one of those niche places that's adopted the sport and is very knowledgeable about the sport. And, you know, their Huskers are just like the New York Yankees in New York.
That's exactly what I was going to ask him, if they are considered that.
Absolutely, 100%.
Coach Dejanay, Atlanta Vibe, joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. With hindsight here in place, looking back at this inaugural season, as you continue to play, though, but looking back at it, how proud are you of how you, the organization, the players, have ingratiated themselves to this city and the other sports entities? We see them popping up all around town. Your connection with this city, what has that been like for you this year?
It's been really special. You know, I think when you work in a college town, you have a connection to the college base, the real microcosm of a city, a college base. But here, watching Atlantans reach out to us and want to be a part, and then, of course, we want to be in the community. That's our mission. This is about volleyball. This is about winning, and I get that. But really, it's about affecting the lives of people, and especially kids and especially young women who, you know, our players did not grow up with a lot of female role models. And to watch the autograph lines at the end of a match, whether it's a win or a loss, and they're so excited to meet the players and the team. It's just really been magical to watch how the city has embraced the franchise. The franchise was going to embrace the city. Colleen Craig, our owner, has done a fantastic job, and she's so involved on the city scene. But she's put us in positions to get out there and meet people and, you know, try to really get this thing off the ground that first year where we're starting to build a solid fan base.
Spending time on the waitforit.com outline with Coach Todd Dejanay. He's the coach of Atlanta Vibe. 3-1 winners last night over Omaha, which is big for them. And he is social. You can find him on Twitter or X, whatever you called it, in the last 15 minutes, at Todd ATLPVF, at Todd ATLPVF. Talk about the way things have just worked out. You've had some sweeps that you've had recently, and what it has allowed you to do with your very talented roster, because everybody wants to get in on this, right?
Right. That's pretty easy. The answer to that question is, what has it allowed us to do? Rest. We're finding out that, you know, this first year they had to put together a schedule based on just arena availability. And of course we got into the game late. The Gladiators and the Stingers and you know, everybody has already set their time, and it's happened at all the arenas across the country. So we kind of got what's left, and you know, we're playing a match. We're taking a day off. We're doing a prep day. Then we're playing a match and we're taking a day off. It's going about every 3 days right now. And fortunately, these sweeps are allowing our players a little bit more rest time. That's been one thing. Right now, we're just hitting that stage of the season where we're just making it one day, you know, one day to the next. I mean, we got no help from the schedulers. We just did a West Coast 6-day West Coast swing, and then had to come back, prepare one day, and then play the second place team in the league. But so what am I proud of? I am proud of the resilience of this team. They have every reason not to show up and give it their best. But the camaraderie and the respect that they have for each other, it doesn't allow them to give anything but their best. And that has been fun to watch as a coach, because in 25 years, I've never had a team do that.
Now, heading into next season, I'm a crystal ball here. You came into the season, you talked about some of the things that you might like to have seen done differently, but you got here a little bit late. as we talk about this upcoming season, what are some of the changes? What are some of the things that you were going to approach differently, if any?
Well, I think, it depends on how many matches we end up getting. It sounds like they're going to decrease the number of matches because they're finding out the number of matches that we're playing in the short amount of time that we play might be a little bit too much. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I think changes-wise, they're going to take a look at the schedule, make sure that we're not playing 3 games in 6 days or, 5 games in 14 days, because that's a lot. Much respect to the NBA who does this night in and night out. I don't know how they possibly do it. Because we're going out there and we're physically just pounding our bodies and then recovering and doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing I'd like to see them approach the schedule. But there are a lot of things that went right. You think of all the things that will kill a first-year league, and we've seen it happen with a bunch of different leagues. And I think the leadership and the ownership group have done a fantastic job of making sure that this is compelling, that it's worthy of a ticket price, that it's competitive, and we're adding fans leaps and bounds as they learn to see the product and they respect the product that's being put on the floor. And that has a ton to do with the league, and that has a ton to do with the ownership group.
Folks, there are 5 regular season contests remaining. Of the 5, 3 are at home, so more opportunities to get out and see the Atlanta Vibe at Gas South Arena. And also, during this month, you guys are on CBS CBS Sports Network, right?
That's right. The CBS Sports Network contract finally kicks in. We had to wait to the end of the men's basketball tournament for that to start. And so now I think they're putting on 10 or 15 of the remaining matches on CBS Sportsnet. So to hit that, the linear TV is only going to increase our fan base for those that haven't seen it yet. But a lot of people have been tuning in to our matches on YouTube, being done very well by local broadcast groups. So the product is going out to the world. I mean, all over the world, they're watching these matches, and nobody is watching with more interest than international players playing in what you would consider the NBA, the Major League Baseball type leagues in Europe. They're really interested in what's happening with this American league, and we're getting more and more calls about them inquiring to be a part of it.
I absolutely believe this will be the attractive landing spot for those people he just mentioned coming from.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen organically. I think you're talking about leagues that have been established for years and years and years, but increasingly, I think the stability of coming to the United States, your owner is on the up and up. You're going to get paid because over there, if you don't play well, you don't get paid. They just pull all kinds of things on you. Mm-hmm. But there is an allure of playing in the States. And we just got to make sure that, we continue to build at the right pace and we don't overstep our britches here. We just build and do it right and do it slow and do it meticulously. And we'll end up being the best league in the world.
Tickets are already on sale for the championship, right? They've gone on sale, and it's been established. That's going to be played in Omaha, right?
In Omaha, right?
Yeah, that's going to be played in Omaha. That'll be a national broadcast game, and it's going to be a great environment. Omaha always brings the heat when it comes to a crowd. They may not like you, but they cheer, and it's energy. And I honestly don't care if we're cheered for or cheered against. We just want energy. And we've been successful there, very knowledgeable place about the sport, and they put on a good show. So, we're looking forward. We still have a couple things that we need to do to get there. But, hopefully we're looking forward to being a part of that championship and playing for the inaugural trophy.
Yep, they're back in action Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Grand Rapids. And these folks have given you a little problem in the course of the season, but 7 o'clock out of Gad South on Tuesday, they're going to be at it, Greg.
There you go.
Yeah, they've had our number. Now we beat them the last time, but prior to that, they handed us 2 losses in a row, and that's half of our losses right there. So some teams just match up really well with others. Last week we beat San Diego handedly as we have all year long, and then San Diego turns around and has a big win over some teams in the league. So it's just there's a lot of parity. It's really close.
And it's funny
compelling is that spot 3, 4, 5, and 6, it's not going to be figured out till the end of the season, the last week.
Isn't it always, no matter what the sport, it always comes down to a coach saying something about matchups?
Oh, yeah.
It's always about.
It comes down to that.
The various sports, it doesn't matter. They can be polar opposite. It comes down to matchups.
Same is true here.
There you go. Hey, Coach, congratulations. And we want to talk to you when it's all said and done, talking about how heavy that trophy is. We're going to be talking to you about that. And just get you back on as soon as we can. But thanks for getting up and joining us this morning.
I love being with you guys. And I'm serious. Thank you for the support because, you know, the game is really that's the powerhouse sports. That's where people go for their sports news in this area. And, you know, being able to talk to you and being able to tell our story and you being interested in it is a huge deal for us. So thank you to you and thank you to your fans that have come out to game. And, you know, if they haven't, we always encourage them to do so. It's exciting stuff to watch.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. Great to have him once again with us, Coach Todd Dagenet, Atlanta Vibe. All right, coming up next,
we're going to talk more about just the excitement in the city. Jason's up next.
Absolutely.
Actually, it's not really a guest. It's, you know, he's our fifth Beatle.
Yeah, he is.
So Jason Longshore joining us, getting ready for Atlanta United, Philadelphia. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. Kick it! Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. There are questions that need to be asked as we bring Jason Longshore on. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
The first question is, I'm trying to understand, and she's going to come on and tell us why, but Noel was very excited to choose that song for you.
I have a good idea why she chose it, but I'd like to hear the explanation.
Well, I happen to be the producer most of the time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. And if you listen to us on Tuesdays, usually at 10, Jason usually starts the show out with Let's Kick It. So.
Exactly.
Look at you two. Look at these two. Did you know she was going to do that, Jason?
No. Once it started, I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. I got you.
Look at that, you too. All right, well, anyway, why do I have something special written down next to Jason's name? Okay. Something you said earlier in the show when we were going to talk to him about Atlanta United. It was something else. Maybe it was his show or the team, and I wrote down, okay, we got something special, but I forgot what it was. So why did I write that down as something that you said he got something, you know, okay.
You got about 10 minutes to figure it out.
That's why I'm showing him 10.
Okay, but you do that all the time. You leave sentences incomplete. I got my brain on eight different things, but again, 10 minutes from now, okay?
No, but 10th anniversary. That's what he's going to be this week's show coming up.
Just you could have just like started and said that. Okay. Instead of playing coy with me, the audience is going, what they doing up there? See, I teed that up for you so you could give him roses.
Absolutely. That's coming up. Jason, talk about that this week. I mean, we woke up with the match we're going to get to in a minute. But this week, you are going to do something. And you're going to – 10 years since the announcement that MLS was coming to Atlanta. The time has really flown.
Yeah, it's crazy that it's 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. But Tuesday night at the Brew House in Little Five Points, we're going to have kind of a live conversation. Our History of Atlanta soccer podcast series that we started with Atlanta United, myself, Sandy McAfee. We've, I think, told a lot of stories about maybe the early portions of Atlanta soccer history. And there's a lot more to come. We're going to drop some stories throughout the rest of this season. We've got a lot of deep dives to give you. But this is going to be a fun one because it is the 10th anniversary on Tuesday of the day that it was announced that MLS was coming to Atlanta. And there really hadn't been a whole lot of lead time before that. You know, things were moving in the background, obviously, but it was about a week before the announcement that the word started to come out, a big event was coming. And there was a lot of talk nationally in soccer circles that this is a mistake. It's not going to work. There's no way they're going to play at the big stadium. What are they thinking? This is crazy. And, yeah, all those people were wrong. Well, that's always fun to point that out.
That's what we wanted to ask you, at least I wanted to ask you about. Take us back to that night when you were there 10 years ago. You said there wasn't much conversation leading up to that, so you didn't have a lot of time to speculate. But that night, where were you? How did it play out? What was it like? And what did you think when, you know, after the announcement and you guys and you and the other reporters sat around and just talked about what you just experienced and your thoughts on sustainability?
Yeah, I was working for Soccer in the Streets at the time. So we were involved in the announcement and were involved in some of the planning of the fan portion of it outside. I had a chance to go in for the actual announcement with the dignitaries. And there's two things that I always think about when I think back to that day. One is the then mayor, Kasim Reed, said that the red phone on his desk goes to Arthur Blank. And that line has always stuck with me. And I think ultimately it was the right person to do this. And with the right level of, yeah, resources are a big part of it. Let's not lie. You know, you start a professional sports team and there's some significant investment that has to happen. But it's not just a financial investment from Arthur. It's been a personal investment. It's been, I think what you've seen from him with his relationship with soccer is it's a passion for him. It's family for him. His, you know, his kids have grown up playing. So it's a big deal to him personally. It is a business, but it's also personal. And that's something that's always stuck with me. But the other thing is I had a chance a few years before that to meet Don Garber. And this was right after the deepest expansion conversation with Atlanta had occurred back in 2008, 2009. And Arthur Blank was involved in it. That was also, if you think back to that time, there was talk about the Falcon Stadium and where that was going to be. And it wasn't going to be where Mercedes-Benz ended up. So they ended up pulling that expansion bid kind of late in the process. And Don Garber, the commissioner of MLS, told us, knowing we were from Atlanta, he said, you know, don't worry, we're coming. I don't know when, but we're coming. It's going to happen. And it was about 5 years later that it was announced that they were coming. It had always been something they wanted to do. They wanted to work with Arthur. Arthur wanted to bring it here. And the timing was right. And I think as we've seen from the launch from day one, it was the right time and done the right way. And that's why we have the success that we do.
He's got me thinking about three different things because he says so much.
Yeah.
And I love this about Jason. I wonder if one of the byproducts of the growth of this and then the conversation around the world, I always go back to the airport. The accessibility of this city to the world has a lot to do with a lot of the things that we have right now. Is that a fair statement, Jason?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you study Atlanta history and you go back to when the airport was starting to turn into what it was, that was what separated Atlanta from Birmingham, from Charlotte, you know, from the other cities in the Southeast that were roughly the same size. You know, there wasn't a whole lot to separate those cities. You go back to the 50s and maybe early 60s, but it was the investment in the airport that really started to help change Atlanta into a bigger place than the rest. And then the Olympics is another big part of it. I think, especially when we talk the soccer world and the international world, having the Olympics here and making Atlanta an absolute international city,
yeah, and I think in between
was a big factor.
I think in between those two, we got to throw in Andy Young.
Yep.
Well, of course. No, there's a lot of people who took it from one to the next, right. But so many different aspects, you know, separated Atlanta from every other city in the Southeast and has turned it into one of the great cities in the world. And there's just no denying that.
Absolutely. Folks, spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Jason Longshore. He is social. You can always find him on Twitter or X or whatever you called it in the last month and a half at Longshoe. And don't forget the pregame today coming up at 1:30. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman would kick off at 2:40. Well, we won't get a Boom Yakamakas. Talk a little bit about this matchup today and this laundry list of players we got missing right now. The depth of this squad is being tested right now, Jason.
Yeah, it's why you build up depth, and it's why you develop players internally as well. And that's something that, you know, you look back at the last lineup in New York and you see Caleb Wiley doing what he's done all season long. One of the top young American players in this league, hailing from Morningside. You got Tyler Wolf, who started last week, competing to start again with Sean De Silva out. Noah Cobb has been starting consistently lately with Deion Gregerson out. That's three homegrowns that, you know, if you just look at the way that they play, you don't notice that those are kids who came up through the Atlanta United Academy. That helps your depth. But also, you're going to be looking at Daniel Rios today, and that was a signing that didn't happen all that long ago. I think it's a really good signing. I wish he had a little more time to prepare for this one and maybe was a little bit bitter and sharper with his teammates. But Rios was a player who, when he came to the U.S., he scored 20 goals in back-to-back seasons in the second division. I don't care what level we're talking about. That's hard to do. He's got talent. He's got the ability inside the 18 to find space. I really like Rios's game. He's going to get the start today, I would assume, because Giakoumakis is out. Jamal Traoré is out. How long can Rios go and how productive can he be is going to be the question. I think you're looking a lot at that right side for Atlanta United today with some of the absences that you're dealing with Sean De Silva, with Giakoumakis out, the left side up front, maybe some challenges there. But you're looking at the right side, which has been really productive for Atlanta this year with Brooks Lennon having another great season, and Thabo Lopchanidze with one goal, three assists. He's been outstanding. You want to get things going from that side. You got to get the left side going too. It can't be all one-sided because then it gets predictable and teams can defend it better. But that right side is, I think, the side of the field you're looking to carry this team in the attack today.
That is Jason Longshore joining Sam and Greg. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Tell us what we need to know about this Philly team.
Philly is a team that, when you talk styles in this league, Philly plays a very different style than Atlanta. They don't really want the ball. They're not trying to build up the play. What they do is they defend well, they press, and they'll play. You know, if you want to compare it to something, you're almost looking back to like the old Arkansas days in college basketball with that full court press and just trying to make you make mistakes and then pounce on it. So they don't need 5-6 passes in a row to get to goal. They look to turn you over and go straight to goal. So they're going to play long. And, you know, Noah Cobb and Luis Abram, they've got to win their aerial duels. You've got to settle the ball down in those moments and then pass through that pressure. Last season at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I think you saw Atlanta do that really, really well in the win. It's this kind of split personality you've got to have when you play Philly, because you have to be intense to win the ball back, because that's what Philly thrives in. They win duels, they win the ball. But then when you have the ball, knowing they're going to press you and they're going to try to make it chaotic, you've almost got to find your moment of zen and be relaxed in those moments on the ball to pick out the right pass to break that press. Because when we talk about full court pressing teams in basketball, we talk about it in soccer, if you break the first line, you're going to then have numbers going against their defense that's left. It might be a 4v3. It might be a 5v4. And then it's easier to get forward. But you've got to be patient and be smart in breaking that first line of pressure.
Jason, talk about this week here locally and facilities. First of all, we heard about the groundbreaking down in Fayette County. And then we heard about expansion at the training ground up in Kennesaw. Thoughts about both places and what it allows this area to do going forward?
Yeah, this has been a crazy week. When you really go all the way back and look at it, you know, we had a record-setting crowd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the U.S. Women's National Team. A great game. First time they've ever had a radio broadcast. We did that. That was awesome. Just a great day then last weekend. Then Monday, we're in Fayetteville, and they unveil the National Training Center. They break ground, and they unveil that it will be named after Arthur Blank, thanks to his contributions in making that happen and bringing a lot of people to the table to make that happen as well. It's going to be one of the best training centers for the sport in the world, and this is going to really elevate the game in this country for all of the national teams, the men, the women, the youth national teams, the extended national teams. Really, really cool to see. And I think it will have some tangible impacts on the grassroots level in terms of coaching education and referee education and bringing those folks to Fayetteville to train and to learn and then go back to their communities and make the game a better thing in their world. And then the Atlanta United training ground expansion. That's announced this week. Arthur's been a little busy this week, huh?
Well, his checkbook has.
Just a little bit, right? This one's big too, because with the training ground, you know, it was opened and one of the crown jewels of the league when it was opened. And y'all know how this goes when we talk college sports, the arms race in facilities. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing in terms of, you know, attracting recruits and bringing free agents here. And you bring a player from another country here to see where they're going to work every day, and you want to wow them. And they have wowed them. But now they're going to wow them even more because they're adding more space inside for the first team, but also for the academy players, for the second team players, for the staff, for the studio on the digital side.
Yeah, production studio. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that the club has been doing from a production standpoint in this league has been, you know, NFL quality, and they haven't had that studio to base out of. You give them a studio to work with now. I can't wait to see what these creative folks are going to come up with. It's been so cool to see everything grow, and this is the next step. You know, this is what will allow you when the summer, for example, you're going to have the U.S. men's national team and I think the Canadian national team train at the facility. You can have them train. They'll have their space. They'll be able to do their thing when they're in town to play big international games. But Atlanta United's first team and their other teams will have their space to do what they do and put in their work. So it just takes a first-class facility and makes it even better.
All right, Jason. Well, you know what it's like to get yelled at by your producer. You got to shut up and break because we got to pay for commercials here. I mean, get those on there. But
Noel does that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Noel's just yelling at us right now.
Oh, yeah, man.
Hey, Noel produces me on AST. I know.
We got to go.
Anyway, man, listen. Thank you as always. And next time we get you on, we got to talk about that Tom Joyner weekend you had last week where you were bopping from city to city. We'll get into that next time.
Oh, my goodness.
But as always, want to let you know, Atlanta United versus Philly. Pre-kick at 1:30, kick at 2:30. Jason's on the call with Mike Conte. And, of course, you can hear that match. Well, not here. You're going to have to go down to Star 94, and you will hear that match in its entirety. Enjoy the day today, man.
Let's get a win.
Thank you.
There you go, Jason Longshore. We're going to get you set for Radio today. And I asked you guys a question a little earlier. We're going to get your responses in just a bit. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Trouble to turn into a struggle halfway across Alabama. Well, a hound broke down and left us all stranded in downtown Birmingham.
Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this 14th day of April. Once again, thank you for letting Sam and I be a part of your weekend morning, Saturday. We got our 6-10 back on Saturdays, now that the tournament's over with. And, of course, we've been here 6-10 on Sundays. There'll be a little changes here and there, an hour here, an hour there. But for the most part, we're back.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I want to fill up every weekend because it'll probably be football season, short of a couple holidays here and there when we lose hours again on our weekend shows. So let's see if I can get a They Got Next. We can get a They Got Next, the kid, every week leading up to this. All right. And that's my goal.
All right.
They Got Next. You can see on our website, 92.9thegame.com, click on contest, and if you have a son, daughter, niece, nephew, student, teammate, whatever that is, 13 years or under, that wants to get into broadcasting, can put together a minute sports report. We want to hear from you. All right, and you just go there and sign everything up, and we'll get in touch with the parents, and we'll work this thing out. Chris Goforth coming up next.
Oh, man.
The hour.
Okay.
The red shirt has already walked out onto the course.
Yes.
And
Final round of the Masters.
He's going to work on every shot in the bag because it doesn't really matter at this point.
Here's the thing, though. People going out early, people would normally wait until later in the day to go out because the leaders are going to tee off much later. Mm-hmm. But think of the people who've turned out today to walk the course with him. Then you come back and you pick your places to kind of camp out for when the contenders come through. But you go through.
I think he's the draw.
Well, he's the draw, but, I mean, people are going to want to see who wins.
I don't know that I'd get there at 5 in the morning. Five in the morning. Okay, he teed off just a few minutes ago. So chances
are you
had to get. No, I'm saying if you get up.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting until 3 o'clock. If I'm watching Tiger and he zips by me at the seventh hole and it's only 10:30, I'm not sitting there till 3:30 waiting
I said walk the course with him.
Oh, I ain't doing that. There
people, the people are going to walk the course with him today.
You said park a spot. You said
no,
you
go
out
and walk the course with him, then go park a spot for the contenders.
Good luck.
Why?
Because it'll be 18 deep by that time.
By 18, maybe not. I mean, it depends on where you go. And that's the neat thing about being on a course that's not built around a subdivision. Right, there's nothing there but the golf. Really, it's like East Lake.
I got you.
There's nothing there but the golf course.
Right, no, you're right.
And if you've been there a couple of times, you know how to cut through one and get to the other, and move ahead of whoever you want to see. That's the beauty of a course without a subdivision built around it.
I would imagine there have been situations where, as you said, you know how to cut through, and people have been out there for certain years. A bunch of shoulder bumping, and people. Because they get ornery when they want to get to their spot,
well,
and somebody trying to cut them out.
You go ahead. You know the course. You get ahead. You get 2, 3, 4 holes ahead of whoever it is you want to see and camp out there. Because it changes. There's some people who camp out there permanently. They bring their chairs and they put them down in that section.
That's what I'm thinking of.
You know what I mean? So some people get there and do that so they can sit. There are little bleacher areas on some, but most part people come in and bring their chairs and put them there. But, you know, the rest of the part, people that you found in your golfer that you want to follow, you follow them. You walk the course with them. There are people who have gone out there prepared to walk every hole with Tiger today.
I'm just saying the difference between when he's going to finish and when those other guys come through because he's teeing off so early because of his score,
right?
Just can be a lot of downtime. That's for me.
Well, then you have your lunch. You go have you some. You go have you some clam chowder.
You got everything figured out. A lot of folks are going to be bored, and so you know I'm enough of this.
You go have you some clam chowder. Go shopping. You know, it's the last day to go and get them polos and whatnot.
The prices are a little different than that pimento cheese sandwich.
That's just it. That's why they give you a break on the food because they're going to get you with the other stuff. NASCAR's rolling in Texas today. Texas Motor Speedway, Auto Trader 400. And Kyle Larson is on the pole. I think it's his third consecutive pole. He's going to start there. So he's going to be on the front row along with Ty Gibbs. Second row is going to be Christopher Bale and Tyler Reddick. It's going to be there. Third row, Chase Briscoe, William Byron. Ryan Blaney and Austin Cindric make up the next row. And then your fifth row will be Martin Truex Jr. and Bubba Wallace. Those are your top 10 qualifiers for this race as they start out in Texas today. Looking down here, Kyle Busch starting 35th. We got something's happened with some of the racing teams from up, and he's with Richard Childress. The Childress guys, one is the 34 car starting, well, the 33 car starting 34th, and Kyle Busch is starting 8th. Something's happening with Childress. Don't know why his teams are not able to get up there and be among the contenders. But we'll watch and see what happens today as they race out in Texas.
I just let you finish. What
okay,
you
okay.
Chase, I just thinking about Jason.
Chase Elliott is starting 24th. Yikes! He's trying to figure out what's up with him.
It's just the whole year has been head scratching.
Going back to last year with him, so we'll see if they can break through.
He's thinking about Jason Longshore, who was just on here a minute ago.
Yeah,
invoking the Nolan Richardson Arkansas team.
Yeah, yeah. And that says a lot.
Nolan Richardson. That was pretty good.
As Arkansas gets a new coach this week.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Are you ready for this? I'm going to keep things local as I give you this insignificant birthday information. I had forgotten. There are there's three of them that are celebrating. This is Steve Avery's birthday.
Really?
Steve Avery, happy birthday, 54 years old today.
Okay.
But
he's one of Deion Sanders' favorite guys.
Was he?
Because he didn't know how to dress. And Deion had to take him and show him how to dress when he came to the team.
Well, he had a couple teammates that he shared a birthday with.
Okay.
Not only that, I had forgotten two of them dudes were born literally on the same day. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
Happy birthday, David Justice and Greg Maddux.
Man.
Same day.
Wow.
Today. 58 years old.
Okay.
Both of them. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy 27th birthday, DJ Moore. And I'm telling you, one of the more enjoyable YouTube videos to watch for me is when this dude was a member of the Cubs, he hit a batsman while he was pitching. The guy made the mistake of rushing the mound. And the most what's the word when you do a just a perfect tackle in practice? Just textbook. A textbook football tackle. Kyle Farnsworth. You remember that?
Yep.
Dude rushed the mound on Kyle, and Kyle went and gave him, well, it's his birthday today. We'll say a Chase Young. Just a perfect tackle. So, anyway, I've had a wonderful weekend, man. How about you? Doing these two shows?
Been great. Been great. Tomorrow is WNBA draft day.
Going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Going to be interesting. That's
the next step to see if everything we've seen this past season and the past two women's tournaments starts to make more of a transition to that next level. And in a number of ways, you know, in the level of competition, in the level of viewership, and in the pay scale. We watch to see what happens.
Okay. Oh, I thought you had it set to fire. This is what else. But I got to get rid of this insignificant information. I thought she was going to fire the sounder.
Okay.
And all so that kind of sets it up, and that's why I was going
to. As the show winds down, it's time for us to cover some of the things we haven't yet, as we flush out some of the small stories we may have missed with Sam and Greg.
Yeah, that's what we're talking
about. All right,
there you go. We're
trying
to get rid of this stuff here at the end of the show.
Come on.
Know the word telescope was used for the first time today?
No.
Many, many, many years ago. Insignificant.
How many years ago?
Well, it was like the 1600s. And it was by Prince Frederico.
Really?
Prince Frederico used it in describing, well, I'm not going to get into this whole thing. Anyway, that happened on this day. The first dictionary was published on this day.
Okay. Webster.
There you go.
Bunkin Wagnall.
I never knew what Webster's first name was, but now I know. It's Noah. The first detective story was published on this day. Now, this one I had heard of before. I never read it, but a lot of people have. It was one of those school things. Edgar Allan Poe's Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody read that thing. First Pony Express rider got to San Francisco. Now, this is one of those interesting things that I wonder what it must have been like. Because the dude left Missouri, and he's by himself. He's not like a stagecoach.
Wow.
He's a Pony Express rider. He's out there doing Craig James.
But he can't go nonstop. You got to stop at some
point. Like there's some truck stops on the way.
Yeah, you got to stop somewhere.
Well, you got to stop, but really, where
you
do you stop?
Got to get some water and some oats or something.
Okay, so that's the part. If you're a Pony Express rider, they see that you got a bunch of stuff. And everybody was about robbing folks back in the day. So let's say he was carrying money. So, you know, obviously he's carrying mail. He's carrying stuff that people, Dodge City, you know, whatever these towns are between there, they're like, who's that dude? I'm just saying it because it's pretty dangerous for the people who did this early on. No kidding on this one. I did not. Today was the day that Lincoln got shot in the theater.
Whoa.
John Wilkes Booth shot President Lincoln on this day. He didn't pass until the next day. The first showing of the Thomas Edison's kinescope. Is that how you say it? Kinescope? Anyway, it was about moving pictures.
Okay.
And I asked you earlier about a patent. Because today was the day that the Kellogg dude got the patent for flaked cereal. But I asked you, also one more thing. The President Taft started the tradition of throwing out the first pitch on this day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, threw it out there. Opening season, it was 1910. But if you could have the patent on something, I asked you this earlier on, you had time to think about it, what would it be?
Yeah, it would be something that does.
Noel, you too.
Huh?
No, I was telling Noel. I asked her too.
It'd be something to do with Google Meets does. Google Meets or Zoom.
Really?
Or yeah.
Of all time?
Because of what I do or what I've done.
Okay, makes sense.
Using that, nobody's out of bounds. If King Charles got 5 minutes in the laptop, you got interviewed. Thanks to what we experienced a couple of years ago, where we couldn't. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where a couple of goes, we couldn't go. I covered sporting events without going. To the game because of, yeah.
I just feel like that'd be something you have to continuously monitor, though, because it's technology that's in use and somebody may rip you off.
Well, maybe, but I mean, the idea is if you get a patent a version of it.
Okay.
And you do your expansions and the things that you do that would make yours outstanding, but a version of it.
All right.
Yep.
I'm sure it would make you rich.
I would hope so.
Yeah. Mine's a little bit more basic. I wish I invented the paperclip.
Okay.
I had the patent for the paperclip. That one and rubber.
Just rubber, period?
Rubber, period.
Okay.
Somebody, some
car tires or?
No, it's just rubber. was rubber. The patent for rubber. Who invented it in some, you know, in a test tube back when? That's the one. So those are the two I'm choosing.
Okay.
Little ones.
I don't think rubber's a little one at all. That's.
What do you mean?
I don't think rubber is a little at all because of what has been done.
No, that's what I mean. You invent that little thing and how it's used. It's like the electron. It had no use when it was invented, when they found the electron. Now, the world is run on it. No. So I'm just saying it's a little thing. Noel,
what you got?
The television and the transistor radio.
Transistor radio.
I want to be Sony.
Huh?
Okay. All right. Well, listen, there's no bad answer here. This is what you want.
Transistor radio, man. Coming.
Okay.
A lot of Radio Shack.
There you go. Noel, thank you for everything today. As always.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Especially for all the thoughts, especially in your world, and our tribute to Rico Waite.
Yes. And Sam, one more time, what should our audience do today?
Top off your tank.
Top off your tank. Yes, indeed. Red Shirt Sunday. Listen, we will be back next Saturday. Thank you again for everybody who joined us and for all of you for letting us be a part of your Saturday and Sunday morning. To Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you on the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.